Welcome to today's sermon. I'm Mike Adams with Abundance.Church. And today we're going to be covering figs. Very interesting subject. A lot of medicinal applications about figs. In fact, Dr. James A. Duke, in his book, Herbs of the Bible, says, quote, medicinally, figs may hold the cures for cancer, AIDS, and diabetes. So we'll get to all of that. And of course, figs are mentioned many times throughout the Old Testament. We'll cover Jeremiah here and some of the use of figs as symbols of abundance from God to the ancient Israelites. I want to remind you to subscribe to the email list. It's free at abundance.church. Just enter your email address there. And that way we will alert you when we have new things posted on the site, such as reference charts for nutrients, herbs, and superfoods, as well as new songs. We have a new song coming out called God is With Us. You've heard me talking about that song. I don't think I'll play any part of it yet for you here today, but the full recording is all done. We're just working on the video. And that one, it's not a funny song like Song of Solomon. It's a very serious song, very spiritual. You will love it. So just sign up. Put your email address in at abundance.church, and you'll get on the email list for the Church of Natural Abundance. Now, let's start with the book of Jeremiah, the book of the weeping prophet. And we've covered some chapters of Jeremiah in other sermons. I think we left off around chapter 11, and we're going to, of course, ultimately go all the way through it. But in chapter 8, this is talking about how Jeremiah the prophet is weeping or mourning for his people. And the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah about his disappointment with the people, how they have turned away from the teachings of God. And he says, how can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. So what is that, the false pen of the scribe? Well, it refers to two things, I believe. One is the false teachings by the corrupt church, but also the false law, the law of man that's being written by the scribes as a way to overrule the law of God. And you see this theme over and over again. Ancient Israeli tribes or cities or civilizations turning against God and writing their own laws. And then, of course, everything ends up in collapse. But verse 9, we continue, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? See, this is strong. It's like, how can you even call them wise men when they've rejected the wisdom of the Lord? Verse 10, therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. So, of course, referring to how society has fallen away from the teachings of God and has become obsessed with greed and material wealth and has become a place of great sin and great evil, even the church, which I would argue there's a lot of that happening in our world today. The church has turned away from God and has embraced some, you know, very horrifying, even sometimes satanic things like transgenderism, for example. Verse 11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. And this is what we see today, the people that carry out such evil and lies and deceptions, for example, in the fake news media and the fake propaganda of the government itself. Are they ashamed at their lies? No, not at all. They have no shame. They're not even capable of shame. Continuing in verse 12, therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. And this too shall come to pass, by the way, that these people will fall. The evil deceivers who call themselves journalists or call themselves scientists or FDA officials or government officials, they shall fall, says the Lord, right? Verse 13, and here's where figs finally come up, but I had to give you all of that for the context. Verse 13, I will surely consume them, says the Lord. I will consume them. And that word consume, Let's see. There are notes on that. It also means to take them away. No grapes shall be on the vine, no figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and all things I have given them shall pass away from them. So note the use of the figs here. So figs and grapes here are both literal and symbolic, and they symbolize abundance. They also symbolize, I believe, natural medicine, because figs and grapes, these are some of the things that help keep ancient people very healthy. Grape skins, grape seeds, and grape leaves, for example, have very specific healing molecules, one of which is resveratrol. And in grape seeds, you have proanthocyanidins, or PCOs, as are also present. And then you've got resveratrol in grape skin. And this is what gives grapes some of their incredible healing attributes. Now, this sermon is not about grapes. We'll cover grapes later. But figs have another amazing profile of God's medicine, natural molecules from God, the expression of God through Mother Nature, provides these natural medicines for humankind. And this is a gift from God, and it's a gift of abundance. And so when God is talking about punishing people who have turned away from God or punishing societies, he specifically mentions they will have no grapes and no figs, and the leaf shall fade. Again, he says, and all the things I have given them shall pass away from them, and I will surely consume them, he says. They shall be cast down. So how many times have we heard this same lesson in the Old Testament in particular? God saying to various groups of people or various tribes, various cities like the people of Jerusalem or the kingdom of Judea, saying to them, if you turn from me, then I, God, shall take away everything from you, everything that I granted to you as a gift, the living waters, the soil, the land, the crops, the living water, the fruit, the soil, the seeds, the medicine, your families, your children, everything. And yet, throughout the Bible again and again, what happens to the ancient Israelites and other groups? I mean, look at the other groups, the Babylonians, the Syrians, Canaanites, and the Egyptians, and the Philistines, and many other people. Time and time again, what happens? They turn against God, and they begin to embrace false idols, man's laws, and they sink into sin, mass fornication, sexual perversion, immorality, greed, corruption of the church, selfishness, covetousness, all of these things that are clearly designated as sinful. And then God takes away the gifts from them. So if we go to now Dr. James Duke, Herbs of the Bible, I want to now cover what's in figs. And I'd like to note something for you. Actually, before I get to the book, pop quiz time. Sunscreen lotion did not exist in the Old Testament, did it? Not even in the New Testament. Sunscreen did not exist. So how is it? Why didn't everybody in the Bible die from skin cancer? There's a question for you, pop quiz. I wonder, how could that be? Because we're told today by modern day deceivers and liars and the American Cancer Society and the sunscreen lotion manufacturers and the corporations and the media that's funded by the corporations. We're told that, oh, you'll die if you don't wear sunscreen. Oh my God, the sun will kill you. The sun. And it's all a lie. And it's a lie because you know that because the ancient people in the Bible weren't all falling dead from skin cancer. Why is that? Because they ate natural substances, natural carotenoids, fat-soluble carotenoids, antioxidants, things that protected their skin from the ionization damage from excessive exposure to ultraviolet radiation. In other words, if you ate the diet of the people in the Old Testament, and think about the foods that we've covered, you know, we've covered black cumin seed, We've covered apricot seeds. We've covered some of the herbs and spikenard oil and myrrh and cinnamon and so on. And now we're covering figs and talking about grapes, and there are many, many other herbs to come. If your diet consisted of these things and the wholesome grains, the spelt, for example, instead of processed refined wheat, processed refined sugar, and high fructose corn syrup, soda pop, and all this nonsense that people eat today, if you ate the old foods of the Bible, you were protected from the sun naturally through nutrition. You see, that's something that almost nobody is told today. Nutrition can protect you against ultraviolet radiation. And I'm not saying that you could just eat a carrot and then run around, you know, shirtless or whatever with unlimited sun exposure. That's not a wise thing to do if you're not used to it. But people in the ancient days, they both had much better nutrients in terms of medicinal nutrients. Even if they lacked calories overall, the foods they ate were a lot more nutrient dense. But also, they tended to spend a lot more time outside in the sun. And so, of course, they became more tanned. And the tanning of the skin, the melanin in the skin, protects the skin from ultraviolet radiation. So obviously, if you have very fair skin, you don't want to just run out and expose yourself to hours and hours of intense sunlight. Yeah, you will burn, and that's not good for you. But the combination of living a healthier lifestyle with much better nutrition and gradually exposing your body to more sunlight that is natural, again, in conjunction with a much more nutrient-dense diet, that's actually a very healthy combination. And that's the answer to why the ancient people did not all die from skin cancer. Now, there's another question, by the way, as part of this pop quiz. Here's another question. Why didn't all the people in the Bible, why didn't they die from infectious diseases if they did not have vaccines? So modern vaccines have only been around for roughly maybe 130 years, 140 years, something like that. Even less if you consider the more common vaccines today, less than a century. So they didn't have vaccine injections, obviously, anywhere in the Bible. And nowhere did God say, you know, take your jabs, run down to the pharmacy, the pharmacy of Nazareth, and they have a drive-through injection window there. No, because that would have been considered demonic, by the way, given what's in vaccines, which we'll do a whole sermon on vaccines, but you know a lot of vaccines contain aborted human fetal tissue. That is the cloned flesh and blood of murdered unborn children. Those ingredients are called MRC5 and WI38, and there are other ingredients. And they're used in polio vaccines, chickenpox vaccines, measles, mumps, rubella vaccines, and also, of course, COVID vaccines. So if you're taking those jabs, you're actually being injected with the blood, the flesh. The cell lines is what medicine calls it, but I'll call it the flesh and blood of murdered babies, which is part of the demonic abortion industry. So vaccines, as they are harvested today, or organ harvested from children, and as they are administered to people today, they are rooted in intense demonic evil, by the way, that's pretending to be medicine. But to answer the question, how come all the people in the Bible did not die from lack of vaccines? And also, a bigger question, why are you and I even alive if our ancestors did not have vaccines going back however many generations it goes back, even before the Bible? Why didn't all the ancestors die? How did we even get here? And the answer, of course, is obvious, because what we're told about vaccines is a lie. We're told that vaccines stop infections. And yet it's been utterly and blatantly admitted now that COVID vaccines do not stop COVID infections. They also do not stop COVID transmission. This is openly admitted by the medical establishment right now. So the promise of vaccines is a giant lie. And did you know that most polio that is found in India today is vaccine-induced polio. The polio outbreaks are caused by the polio vaccines. Now, that's a fact. So vaccines actually spread disease, and they do not halt disease. And that's why the people in the Bible did not all die off due to a lack of vaccines, because they had good immune systems, and their immune systems, it's part of God's gift. Your immune system is amazing nanotechnology, you know, biotechnology, engineered by God, not engineered by man or big pharma or mRNA injections or transhumanism shots, but engineered by God. And the way that you activate this miraculous nanotechnology that's in your body, because God gave it to you, the way you activate it is through nutrition. You eat the right foods, as I call it, God's molecules. You eat the right herbs, superfoods, and some of those include figs. The things found in figs are incredibly beneficial to your health and to your immune system. And I grow figs, by the way. I grow figs. I have abundant figs. I have so many figs that I can't even possibly eat them all. And some of them just rot on the fig tree. But the yellow hornets really like them, and the ants get them too. Once they get too ripe, the hornets get them for all the sweetness, all the you know, the liquid sugars dripping off the fig. You know, the hornets and wasps, and they love that stuff. But if I pick the figs before that happens, then I get to eat the figs, and I love them. And figs are one of the easiest fruits to grow in many areas, especially very hot areas. And they also produce fruit very quickly compared to other fruits or nut trees. You know, for example, a macadamia nut tree, it might take 10 to 12 years to even start producing its first nut. Or almond trees, maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. I'm not sure what it takes, but it's many, many years. Well, a fig tree can start producing figs in 2 years or less. And mulberry trees, which are also, by the way, very prominent in the Middle East and the Mediterranean regions, mulberries can produce mulberry fruit in the very first year. And so if you're thinking about planting some of these things that allow God's miracles of Mother Nature to be expressed on your property, if you want to grow something divine, grow a fig tree. Now, if you're in a colder region, obviously the figs are not going to do well. Even in central Texas, where I am, they die off in the winter. I mean, all the leaves do, and then the fig tree often struggles to, you know, to grow back the following year. But if you can shield it from some of the north wind, then fig trees can do very, very well. So it's just something to consider. Figs are very easy to grow. You can grow them easily from cuttings, so you can propagate figs very easily, and they produce fruit prolifically if you can get them sufficient water and nutrients. So figs are one of the easiest ways to experience the natural medicine found in the Bible. So reading from James Duke's book, the fig tree is the first fruit tree mentioned in the Bible. Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together to cover their shame and their nakedness. Some suggest that the fig was the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. You know, perhaps not an apple. I think maybe it was an apricot, by the way. In Deuteronomy, figs are among the 7 plants that God promised the Hebrews when they reached the Promised Land. So you see, figs are considered an incredible asset from God, an incredible treasure, a blessing to humanity. By the way, those 7 things were wheat, barley, grapes, figs, honey, or date palm, and then olive trees and pomegranates. There you go. All that sounds awesome to me. Oh, and by the way, did you know that the U.S. government just approved GMO wheat to be imported from, I think it's from South America, maybe it's Bolivia, I'd have to check. But so GMO wheat, which is satanic wheat, because, you know, it's genetically altered, it's no longer God's wheat. So satanic wheat is going to start coming into the U.S. market, which means that you'll literally have a very affordable, low-cost, like Satan's loaf of bread at the grocery store, but it won't be called Satan's loaf, and they won't even tell you it's GMO, but it'll be GMO wheat. So another reason to buy organic, because organic does not allow genetically engineered ingredients. And I don't know if you know this, but they hide GMOs on foods now. They don't even have to tell you on the food label that it's GMO. All they have to do is put a QR code, you know, one of those codes like in the shape of a square with black and white dots. And then if you scan the QR code with your phone, then it takes you to a website that says this product contains genetically engineered ingredients. But if you don't know to scan that, then the label doesn't say GMOs. So it's very deceptive, which is truly satanic, isn't it? To deceive people into eating satanic, altered, non-natural food molecules, and then to trick people by not saying so on the food label itself. So continuing in the book here, fig fruit, fresh or dried, was made into cakes and wine. Now, in many places in the Bible, you'll hear about fig cakes. Now, I would imagine fig cakes would be quite delicious because it's kind of a dried, pressed, sweet cake, essentially. Threading cakes or figs on string made them portable for travel. Cakes of figs are mentioned in the first book of Samuel. The Assyrians used dried figs as a sweetener. I think that's a great idea. The leaves were woven into baskets, dishes, and umbrellas. Hey, that's a nice umbrella you have there. Yeah, it's made from fig leaves. Hope there's not a big rain because these leaves don't cover much. Okay. Medicinally, the fruit proved an effective laxative and tonic. It was used as well in poultices to treat infections, tumors, or boils. King Hezekiah was dying from a malignant swelling. The prophet Isaiah pounded the fruit into pulp for a poultice and applied it to the tumor, healing Hezekiah's malignancy. Did you know that? So here's something interesting about figs. I don't know what nutrients are responsible for this, but if you eat a lot of fresh figs, have you ever noticed a kind of burning sensation on your lips? There's something about figs that does kind of burn the skin a little bit. If it's the outer part of the fig, and you know how there's that kind of white sap when you first pull a fresh fig off a fig tree? There's this white sap. And then with the outer part, the red part of the fig fruit, if you were to rub that on a portion of your skin, I'm thinking that would be a very effective treatment for warts. But in the Bible, it was used to cure topical cancers, you know, exposed tumors on the skin. Now, I also happen to know, by the way, there was a, what was it called, a black salve? Cansema was the name of it, C-A-N-S-E-M-A. I don't know if it's even available any longer. It might be. But someone I knew, a friend, Greg Caton, who has since passed away, he manufactured this salve in Ecuador. And this salve was based on a recipe from Native Americans. And I don't recall all the ingredients in the salve, but it was used for topical tumor treatments, and it worked. But it also felt like it was burning. And I know zinc was part of it, by the way, but I don't know what other herbs were in it, but those were Native American herbs. And it may still be available today, I'm not sure. But wouldn't you know it, the FDA and the, I think it was the FTC, did you know that they sent U.S. Marshals to Ecuador to kidnap Greg Caton in his driveway in Ecuador? And they kidnapped him and put him on a plane in a western port city of Ecuador called Guayaquil. They flew him to Houston, and they prosecuted him and threw him in jail for, I think, 2 years for selling this anti-cancer salve known as Cansema. They didn't, I mean, this was completely extrajudicial. They did not go through any extradition requests. They did not go through any proper legal channels. They literally kidnapped him, brought him to the U.S., incarcerated him because he was selling something that literally cured skin cancer. I mean, that's how evil the health regulators are in the government. That's how corrupt they are. They don't want people to know that cancer can be cured by natural medicines, natural plants that God put on this earth. And one of those plants even mentioned in the Bible is the fig. I mean, you can grow cancer treatments. Now, of course, the establishment doesn't want people to know about that, because that would, you know, oh man, they couldn't control everybody with chemotherapy and radiation, and they couldn't make all this money off people. Gee, if people could just grow their own cancer treatments, you know, oh, that would collapse the cancer industry, which is a for-profit industry. So keep that in mind. When you learn about God's natural medicine, you need to understand, you know, why does the government hate the church? Why does the FDA hate the church? Why does the FDA hate natural medicine of Native Americans or Amazonian Indians or Tibetan indigenous populations or, let's say, the Aborigines of Australia? Why is Native medicine under assault by government regulators all over the world? You know why? Because it works. And it's based on plants. And it's based on plants that you can grow in those areas, usually for free. So, for example, when I'm growing figs, obviously the figs are free. I mean, yes, I have to provide water and do some pruning, and I have to try to pick the figs before the yellow hornets get them. But other than that, they're free. So I don't have to pay a royalty to God. I don't have to get a doctor's prescription, do I? I don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy. I don't have to have health insurance to grow figs. I don't have to have government authority. I can grow figs and I can eat them myself, and I can have an anti-cancer effect myself without permission from Rome, without permission from any church, without permission from any authority other than God, who has already blessed us with these gifts. And it is that dynamic that drives the corrupt government and the corrupt medical establishment absolutely insane, and the corrupt regulators like the FDA. The FDA does not want you to be healthy and cancer-free. They want to benefit Big Pharma and generate profits off of your sickness, disease, and suffering. Because, of course, you know, the entire Western medical establishment is satanic at its core. That's why their symbol is the serpent around the staff. It's a serpent, you know, indicating Satan around the staff. That's the symbol of the American Medical Association. All right, back to the book. We now know that figs contain sorrelin, an antidote to Staphylococcus. So, sorrelin, P-S-O-R-A-L-E-N, sorrelin is an antibacterial substance that can treat staph infections. Staph infections kill people. There are superbug varieties of staph that kill people. Of course, the hospital and the doctors and the FDA, they don't want you to know that you can grow antibiotics. You can grow them by growing figs. I mean, it's a simple fact. They just don't want you to know that fact. All right, and I'm seeing a sidebar here about wart removal remedies, which I did not see before. But here's how to remove warts. And this is according to Dr. James Duke. Open a fresh fig. Take the pulp. Tape the pulp to the corn or the wart overnight using a plastic sheet if necessary. Remove the fig the next morning and soak your foot in hot water, and then you can remove the wart. In stubborn cases, repeat overnight treatments 3 to 5 times or use an ancient removal remedy. You can apply the white latex milk that oozes from fig twigs or leaves once a day for between 5 and 7 days. If that doesn't work, and then that latex milk is also a treatment for warts. So how many people spend a lot of money on wart removal remedies? You know, lots of people. Well, turns out, again, you can grow that natural medicine yourself for free. So to the ancient Egyptians, the fig represented the tree of life. Throughout the Middle East, figs are still a staple food. Figs are consumed fresh, dried, preserved, candied, or canned. It's kind of like Forrest Gump with shrimp. Boiled shrimp, fried shrimp, grilled shrimp. Except in this case, it's figs. They're used as desserts and jams and in pastries, confections, and fruitcakes. Lower grades of dried figs are used for the production of alcohol and wine in Mediterranean countries, while better grades are sold commercially in fancy packs. Fig coffee, a coffee substitute, is manufactured in Europe. I've never had fig coffee. That's the first time I've heard of that. Spiced or pickled figs, fig bread, fig meat, and fig brownies are considered delicacies. Yeah, that all sounds good. Fig leaves gathered after the fruits have ripened are used as animal fodder. Yeah, you know, my goats eat the fig leaves like crazy. I have to protect the fig trees from the goats. Well, they'll just tear them up. Medicinally, figs may hold the cures for cancer, AIDS, and diabetes. In 1998, Sarah Clara and associates found that a decoction of fig leaf taken with meals for a month lowered insulin doses for type 1 diabetics by 12%. Did you know that? So, reduces your dependence on insulin. Now, what other herb have we covered in these sermons that also amplifies the effect of insulin, meaning that you need to use less insulin for type 2 diabetics? Cinnamon. And if you missed the cinnamon sermon, go back and listen to the cinnamon sermon. Because, as it says here in this book, an active ingredient in figs, benzaldehyde, has been effective in experiments on mice afflicted with Ehrlich carcinoma. Now, benzaldehyde, I'm quite certain that's also found in cinnamon. In fact, I think that's the primary chemical constituent of cinnamon is benzaldehyde. I mean, look, I'm going to confirm that. Okay, just fact-checking that, doing some research, it turns out, okay, cinnamon contains cinnamaldehyde, which is a derivative of benzaldehyde. So benzaldehyde is the precursor to cinnamaldehyde, which is what's in cinnamon. And cinnamaldehyde is about 98% of cinnamon oil. So that's very interesting. So there's also, I'm seeing articles about a green synthesis method to produce natural benzaldehyde from cinnamon oil. And that is one of the ways that benzaldehyde is actually produced commercially, is from cinnamon oil. So by the way, I'm just bringing up a study from Biomedicine and Pharmacotherapy from the year 2023. Cinnamaldehyde, as a candidate for a novel anti-cancer medication, and it talks about how it can prevent cervical cancer in mice. That tumor cells in mice treated with low and high doses of cinnamaldehyde were inhibited. The tumors were inhibited, and the vital signs of the mice improved. And it's being seen that cinnamaldehyde can prevent the formation of U14 tumors in mice by blocking the PI3K/AKT signaling pathway. Okay, so I'm not familiar with that pathway, but perhaps some of you are. Anyway, that's just all about cinnamon and cinnamaldehyde. So back to figs, which contain benzaldehyde. I'm glad we cleared that up. It has been effective in experiments on mice afflicted with Ehrlich carcinoma. I already read that. It's also been used to treat cancers of the gums, neck, liver, uterus, and testicles. Hey there, Bob. What you doing with those figs? Just rubbing them where there's cancer. Okay. Dried figs might be a useful dietary source of boron, reported to double blood levels of sex hormones and to prevent osteoporosis. Well, that might explain all the fornication in the Old Testament. They were eating figs. They were doubling all their sex hormones, and that's why they were humping everything in sight, including the donkeys. Okay, the antitoxin sorolins derived from fig leaves may be instrumental in experimental treatments for AIDS, it says. Medical science already uses sorolins to treat blood diseases and psoriasis. Like papaya and pineapple, figs contain protein-dissolving enzymes that help get rid of unwanted skin growths, including corns and warts. One final note on figs for those descendants of Adam and Eve. Fig leaves are still sewn together, but now they are used as wrappings for fresh fruit. There you go. All right, so let's talk about some folklore on figs. But as you can see here, figs are very practical natural medicine and also just incredibly delicious. I just love to eat them fresh off the tree. North Africans rub the painful inflammation of the inner eyelid with fig leaves. Wow, that sounds harsh. Then they bathe it in rose water infusion of almonds. Complicated. The Chinese apply fig leaves to hemorrhoids. Okay. Tropical Americans use figs for washing pots and pans. Fig juice was even an ingredient in household detergents. Okay. Africans use the fresh fig root in a lotion for thrush. Wow. Kind of anti-fungal, right? In France, an essential oil named fig leaf absolute is used in perfumery. Okay. The latex from figs containing the proteolytic enzyme ficin is used in many of the applications for which papain is employed. Green or unripe figs are said to be poisonous. The poison is replaced by sugar when the fruit ripens. That's interesting. Africans drop the latex from figs in ant holes to drive away the ants. Africans also believe that eating the dried fruits facilitates conception. Yeah, well, doubles the sex hormones. Who needs Viagra when you've got Figagra or whatever? Figiagra. Let's see. Ayurvedics use figs for nosebleeds, leprosy, and diseases of the blood and head. That's kind of widespread. Anyway, that gives you kind of an overview of figs and some of their medicinal uses and some of the chemical compounds they contain. So just putting all this together, reminding you, these are God's molecules, right? This is all from God, and figs are cited specifically by God as a gift to humankind, as a reward for being obedient to God's teachings. And when civilizations, when they turned away from God, God punished them and took away their figs, and he took away their cinnamon, plus the gold and the water and everything else. But namely, he took away the figs and the cinnamon. Life would suck without the figs and the cinnamon. Now, there are a lot of practical uses, such as removing warts and also possibly, you know, cancer tumors on the surface of the skin. It would be very interesting. I would encourage you to speak to a naturopath if you think you have a cancer skin issue. Talk to a naturopath and maybe introduce them to figs and see what they think. And then also, I think people know that if you eat a lot of figs, it can also, they're kind of like prunes in a way. If you eat a lot of figs, it can loosen the stools. So it might be useful for constipation in people who are not quite as mobile as they would like to be in that context. But the bottom line is, figs have a lot of incredible medicinal molecules. They have a lot of uses throughout human history, and they are one of the many gifts from God. So folks, enjoy some figs, grow figs, because I think a lot of the medicine is in the skin of the fig. I mean, clearly that's the case. So if you just go to the grocery store and you buy like fig snacks, they're probably sweetened with corn syrup, and they probably don't contain fig skins, and they're not fresh, and they're probably pasteurized, and who knows. Fresh figs are the way to go. If you can't get fresh, get dried figs with the whole skin intact, and then enjoy them that way. But take advantage of some figs. Obviously, buy organic wherever you can or grow them yourself, like I said, and enjoy this amazing gift from God. And I hope you're enjoying these sermons, so be sure to check out all the other ones. I've recorded, I think, 42 now, aiming for 100 in the first batch here. And maybe by 100 sermons, we'll cover at least a few of the books of the Bible. Maybe not all 66, but we'll cover a few books and we'll cover a few foods and so on. But I feel like it's going to take us, frankly, hundreds of sermons to really nail down everything, because it's so rich. There's so many amazing foods and herbs and molecules. It's just, this is such a joyful thing to be able to share the blessings of God from a nutritional point of view, you know, with my background as a food scientist, it's very, very helpful for this. And you don't see a lot of, quote, scientists, you know, teaching the Bible. Those are usually contradictory. But like I said before, when I'm in the lab and I'm doing food science, I see the miracles of God everywhere. In the foods themselves, in the molecules, in the healing potential, I see the presence of God even in the lab. It's, I mean, just the laws of chemistry are from the mind of God. So enjoy all the other sermons. You'll find them. We will eventually get them all posted at abundance.church, probably coming up very soon. You'll see all the sermons. And then we'll have reference charts and so on there coming up soon. And then you can join the email list at abundance.church. Just sign up there. We'll alert you when we have new things, you know, charts or music videos or something substantial, documentaries, whatever might be coming. So sign up there. And thank you for your support. God bless you all. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for listening today. Much more coming. So until then, God bless you. Take care.